Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 17 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life. Today, we're talking about a fascinating subject. It's early childhood trauma and how it actually manifests in adulthood. We have an excellent expert, Mark Woolen. But before we start, I want to make sure you know that this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. Learn more by going to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us. We really welcome your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
On this episode, we're very excited to have Mark Woolen on. Really discuss trauma, early childhood trauma, and how that happens to all of us in life and, oh, in our grandparents' life too. Mark Woolen is a leading expert on inherited family trauma. As the director of the Family Constellation Institute in San Francisco, he trains clinicians and treats people struggling with depression, anxiety, panic disorder, obsessive thoughts, self-injury, chronic pain, and persistent symptoms and conditions. A sought-after lecturer, he leads workshops at hospitals, clinics, and conferences and teaching centers around the world. His book is amazing. It's called It Didn't Start With You, How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle. Mark, welcome to the Her podcast.
Pam, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, my goodness. This is such a, you know, not even cutting edge. It's a bleeding edge concept. Many people who have had early childhood abuse and trauma, you know, think that it's really all about what happened at that moment in their life. But it turns out to be much richer, doesn't it? So how can trauma be passed on from a parent or a grandparent to a child?
So when a trauma happens, it changes us, literally. It causes a chemical change in our DNA, and this changes how our genes function, sometimes for generations. Technically, after a trauma, there'll be a chemical reaction, what they call a chemical tag, and it will block a protein and attach to the DNA. It doesn't change the sequence of the DNA, but what it does is it will inform a cell to use or to ignore a specific gene. And then the way these genes are affected changes how we act or how we feel. For example, we can become reactive to a situation that is similar to an original trauma that happened in a previous generation so that we can deal with it better. And then these gene changes, as we're now finding out, as we're now learning, they can be transmitted to our children. So when we're looking at adverse childhood experiences, I often like to say, okay, it happened again here, but where did it originate? Where did it start?
Oh, wow. I'm going to stop you there because at the beginning of chapter 14 of your wonderful book, you have a fabulous quote from Thich Nhat Hanh, the famous Buddhist monk and philosopher. It says, "If you look deeply into the palm of your hand, you will see your parents and all generations of your ancestors. All of them are alive in this moment. Each is present in your body. You are the continuation of each of these people." Well, flashing forward, what you're talking about here is the brand new and very exciting science of epigenetics, or what you actually inherit and also what happens to you in your present day life, that affects how your genes express themselves to the rest of the body. And wow, this goes to the issue of trauma too. That's why this is so cool.
We'd like to think we're born with clean hard drive, but it's not true. It seems that there's this operating system already in place that contains the fallout, not just from our traumas that we can pass to our children, but our parents' traumas, our grandparents' traumas. And then we're born with fears and feelings that don't always belong to us. So, you know, it's that question again, Pam. If our parents didn't do the best job at parenting, if they were critical or neglectful or they weren't able to do the best.
Abusive.
Yeah, abusive, right. What happened? What made them hurtful? I love to ask that question. You know, we get stuck, Pam. We get stuck right in that place of my dad was abusive, my mom was critical, but we don't often, we just look at the dyad, mom, me, dad, me. But we don't think to look, what happened to dad that blocked his love? Or what happened to your mom that blocked the love that she could give? When we truly understand that, it changes things. We fill with compassion because we understand something that, oh, how could my mom have behaved any differently when her mother lost the baby right before her and couldn't attune to the pregnancy thinking she'd lose my mom too?
Or Mark, did this happen to you as well?
Yeah.
Did you have a personal experience? What was that experience?
Yes. Yes. I am a fourth generation passed down the energy of the orphan. So all my grandparents are orphaned in some way. And this, well, I'll tell you specifically, three of them lose their mothers as babies. And the fourth, she loses her dad as an infant at one. So, of course, she loses her mom's attunement as well. And so I have this anxiety that literally caused my vision loss. I mean, if we take the story back even further, what set me on this path was also a trauma. About 25 years ago, I started to lose the vision in one of my eyes, and I was diagnosed with a chronic form of retinopathy, and the doctors couldn't cure it. And the way it was progressing, they told me that I was going to lose the vision in the other eye too, and I was desperate to find help. And back then, I'm thinking it's a physical condition, just physical, right? That's the first place we go. And
right.
So something moved in me, and I said, well, what if this weren't physical? What if there was something behind this? And I went on a search for healing that led me literally halfway around the globe, as far as Indonesia, where I learned from several wise teachers who taught me some fundamental principles, one of which was the importance of healing my relationship with my parents. But how was I going to do that? It was pretty broken. I had to heal what stood in the way, which is what I've been talking about, this inherited family trauma. For me specifically, it's this anxiety I inherited from all those grandparents and my parents. We all had inherited this feeling of being broken from a mother's love. So when you inherit that, that expresses physically. Our moms can't love in the way that we need or want. It happens infused, informed by the fact that they were raised by orphans. So this is passed down in my family. Pam, I remember as a small boy, maybe 5 or 6 years old, feeling so panicked when my mom would leave the house that I'd run into her room and I'd cry into her scarves and nightgowns thinking that I'd never see her again, that all I'd have left would be her smell, which is true for my grandparents. They don't have their mothers. Their mothers die. So that's probably what they did have, just her smell and her clothes. 40 years later, I shared this with my mom. I said, you know, Mom, I used to, and she, when she heard it, she said, you did that too? When my mother'd leave the house, I'd cry into her clothing. I did the same thing. My sister reading the book said, you did that too, honey? I did the same thing when
isn't
mom left
that
out.
Something?
We
wow.
All, we all,
and I bet a lot of people out there are listening to you, Mark, and saying, you know something? That sounds awfully familiar to me. And it could also be, you know, as you look at trauma and actually abuse itself, that fear that gets passed down. We already know biologically and physiologically some of this is already being transmitted in the placenta. When you have a mother who is constantly living in fear and increasing levels of stress hormone in her yet unborn child. So there are multiple layers to this that I find really quite fascinating. You know, in your book, you talk about four unconscious themes that interrupt the flow of life, and we need to come to grips with these and acknowledge them. Can you go through that with us?
I sure can, and I'd also like to touch on that science that you were beginning to talk about the placenta and what we're learning from epigenetics. But let me start with those four themes. Four ways in which our vitality, our health, our relationships, our success can be hampered. I found that when we have merged with the life experience, these are unconscious themes. I call them unconscious because we don't know what's happening. We've unconsciously merged with the life experience, the life situation of our father, our mother. For example, our mom gave away her first child or lost her first child, and we abort our first child unconsciously, not realizing it is informed biologically. Our dad fails at 40, and then we start to fail similarly at 40. Our parents' marriage starts breaking apart in their lower 30s, and we hit our lower 30s, and we think, oh, yeah, my partner just doesn't do it for me anymore. But we don't question to look behind. Mom and dad break up in the 30s, and then grandma was widowed in her 30s. So we see this biological stream that flows downward. So that's the first unconscious theme. We have merged with the unconscious, unconsciously, with the experience of a parent. Number two, we have rejected a parent, and then we have unconscious effects. Now, most of us didn't get what we needed, didn't get what we wanted. But when we continue for that rejection, who else do we reject? Well, for one, we can't see when we're the same as that parent. If we disown or judge that parent as being cold or distant, we can't see when we think we're very sensitive, but often we're distant and cold, and it becomes disowned in us and then expresses unconsciously in us. Secondly, what we do is we project it onto a partner. We're waiting for that partner to be distant and cold, and we don't even know we're doing it. We're standing with our toes tapping, waiting for him or her to just show us that cold, distant side because we know it's in there because we're running a blueprint.
We're just ramping up and literally hypervigilant for something we don't even realize, you know, we're trying to prepare ourselves for. Amazing. So we have merged with a parent. We've rejected a parent. What's number three?
Well, let me finish the last part of rejecting a parent because it's important. When we reject that parent for being critical, what do we do to ourselves? We're inwardly critical. If we reject that parent for being aggressive, how are we with ourselves? How about inwardly aggressive? So we have to heal these rejections. Now, the third theme you mentioned, we have a break in the bond, an early break in the bond with our mom. Something happened, some event, some trauma, something took her attention away, something physically separated us, someone died, something happened, someone was hospitalized. And then we end up, of course, rejecting her and then merging with her, right? So they're all connected.
Oh, yeah.
Themes.
Oh, yeah,
so
makes
sense.
The third
is we have a break in the bond with our mom. And the fourth, the most peculiar of all, we've identified with someone in the family other than our parents, like a grandmother or a stillborn brother or an uncle or an aunt. And we don't realize it, but we're sharing that piece of life experience. I one time worked with this woman who was planning to take her life. And she used the strangest language, Pam. She said, I said, so how are you going to do it? She said, well, I'm going to vaporize myself. And inside I'm thinking, what? So I said, what do you mean? And she said, oh, my brother, he works at the steel mill, and he's going to let me in, and he's not going to know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to leap into a vat of molten steel, and my body will incinerate. These are the words she used, vaporize and incinerate. Incinerate in seconds. So I'm thinking, because I work with this idea of trauma language, that's what my book is about. I teach people how to hear the words we speak, this trauma language that lives inside all of us, and how to link it to these traumatic events that nobody's talking about in our family. So I said to her, I'm thinking Holocaust, I'm thinking fire. I'm looking at her blonde hair and blue eyes, and I'm not thinking she's Jewish. And I'm thinking, so tell me, any Holocaust in your family, either anyone who was part of it or in it or suffered from it? And she said, no. She said, oh, wait a minute. I think my grandmother, she was Jewish. Oh, yeah, she was definitely Jewish before she married my Polish grandfather and converted. And I said, when did she marry him? When did she? She came in 1946. I said, wait a minute. What happened in 1945? And she said, all of her family perished in the ovens in Auschwitz. Well, they were incinerated. They were vaporized. But she never linked it. And that's what we do, Pam. We're walking around with traumas that didn't start with us, don't belong to us, didn't originate with us. But biologically, through epigenetics, we are carrying the residues of these traumas. And we think they're ours.
Well, can we do this? Those four pieces, the unconscious themes that interrupt the flow of life, are so integral. But you know what's really hard is, you know, if someone's just walking around out there right now, how do they know they have these issues? They become a piece of them. They're just, making the same mistakes, repeating and vicious cycles. How do they know?
Well, that's why I wrote the book. I wrote this book so that I could provide help for people who struggle with the effects of inherited family trauma, and they don't know where to turn, because you're describing most of us. We're walking around with biological residue, and we don't know. We have no clue. The second reason I wrote the book is to generate awareness to the medical and therapeutic community about the impact of epigenetics, this type of impact, that we're seeing the biological residues inside our behaviors, inside our language, inside our actions. I'd like to see this field grow so that practices like I lay out in my book become standard. What I do in the book is I teach people how to become detectives, how to hear this language for themselves, how to link it, how to identify to the trauma.
Well, give us some examples. Like, for instance, someone sitting out there right now, you know, in her podcast land, and they're saying, you know, I wonder if this really applies to me. Is this why my relationships are always, you know, interrupted, and I can't seem to be able to, get a meaningful one long term because I'm waiting for them to reject me, or there's something else going on? Are there some telltale signs that would
I love you just said. I love it. That person walking around waiting for him or her to reject. They're questioning because you just raised the question. That's the key. Raise that question. Is this just my stuff? Or am I, do I carry signs? There are definitely signs, Pam. We might experience a fear or an anxiety or a symptom that strikes suddenly when we reach a certain age or hit a certain event or milestone in our life, and it's as though there's this ancestral alarm clock inside us that goes ringing. For example, we get married, or we have a child, or we get rejected by a partner or move to a new place. I one time worked with this woman who was consumed with anxiety as soon as she went to have a child. Now, she did not have anxiety the year before. She was in her 20s, no anxiety. But now that she's pregnant and going to have a baby, she is consumed with anxiety. And so using some of the questions I outline in the book, we determined that she had this horrific fear that she was going to harm her new baby. And I said to her, so, has anyone in your family ever harmed a baby? And she said, no. And then she said, oh my goodness. My grandmother, when she was a young woman, had a newborn. She lit a candle downstairs. The curtains caught fire. The house caught fire. She could not get up the steps and get her baby out. But we were never allowed to talk about it. And her baby died. So you see how grandmom's experience became like an ancestral alarm clock inside the client when she hit a milestone, when she hit an event, when she became pregnant with a child.
Excellent. I love that. And, you know, you had one piece in the book that I just really... that really resonated. You know, a lot of people out there are probably saying, okay, you know, I need really to work through an expert like Mark Wolin, like we're talking to you right now. And I would obviously want everyone to run on over to your website, Mark Wolin, that's WOLYNN.com. And look at some of those videotapes that are on the website and understand how Mark really helps you walk through this process, because it really has to be done well, and how you substitute a feeling of almost victimization, like, oh my gosh, all this happened to me, with instead what Mark refers to as additional healing sentences, these healing sentences. So here's one that is right out of the book. Instead of reliving what happened to you, I promise to live my life fully. What happened to you won't be in vain. I'll use what happened as a source of strength. I will honor the life you gave me by doing something good with it. And it goes on and on. So one of the things you're doing here in terms of solutions, Mark, is you're turning it around, saying, okay, something happened. It's a reality. We acknowledge. We've gone through the process of acknowledging and identifying. How do you proceed from here? I think those healing sentences are great.
I'm sorry. Say it again, please.
No, I'm just saying, you know, these are healing sentences. What else? What else do you do to heal?
Yeah. We need to have an experience powerful enough to override the old trauma response that lives inside so many of us. And then basically we need to practice the new feelings of this new experience. So this new experience that we have can be, and I teach how to do this in the book, I teach all these practices of receiving comfort or support or being able to find inside ourselves a feeling of gratitude, compassion, loving kindness, ultimately anything that allows us to feel strength or peace, how to be creative in a new way, how to use meditation or visualization in a new way, where we can gain a rewarding experience that steals traction away from our highly efficient, the trauma cycle that keeps us always in this state of suffering. What we need to do is to engage the other parts of our brain, specifically the prefrontal cortex, where we can integrate these new experiences, these new practices, so our brains can really change. So I teach how to do this in a new way so that new neural pathways get laid down in the brain so we can heal. And the way we do that is we've got to you mentioned the healing sentences, which are one way. I have numerous ways in the book. But those healing sentences, for example, can take us back to revisit the feelings and sensations associated with these new experiences that I'm talking about, so that not only the structures in our brain begin to wire differently, you know, Hebb's law, what wires together ultimately begins to fire together, or what fires together ultimately begins to wire together, but we also can release feel-good neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine when we practice these things, or have a release of feel-good hormones like oxytocin. Even the way our genes express can be affected. For example, Pam, the very genes involved in our body's stress response, what I'm talking about, the stress cycle, they can begin to function in an improved way once we install these new experiences. and practice these new sensations, these new visualizations, these new experiences, these new memories, really. They're new memories. We're creating new memories. And then in this way, we're changing our brain.
Well, Mark, you know, what you're describing here for everyone out there is epigenetics. That's a fancy way of being able to say that, yes, you may have inherited some of this. There's no question about that. This is why your book is so amazing, because you do describe this so well. But at the same time, you're not powerless. You're empowered to actually make your own epigenetic changes by meditating. You and I both know the science. By meditating, you actually change gene expression for the better. What you can do then is help stimulate the growth of those new neurons in the brain, in the smarty pants part of the brain, and that is the prefrontal cortex. And by doing so, you're engaging in neurogenesis. You're making more of this. Right. At the same time, you're now laying down a more positive, progressive foundation to be able to live with. So instead of, you know, living in fear of rejection, you could say no and instead practice self-compassion, empathy toward others as well, kindness, and then realize that you don't have to live gripped in fear 24/7, ruining, you know, relationships and living in self-destruction. So it's kind of putting epigenetics, this brand new science, to work for you, right, Mark?
Exactly. I teach in the book how to take these experiences. It's even a simple experience like visualization. When we visualize something, the same neurons, the same regions of the brain activate as though we're actually experiencing it. Something so simple as to visualize something positive happening so you can feel the sensations of it can change us profoundly, Pam.
Huh. And so what I think you're now arguing for is that it's when you've taught other professionals, because you don't work just with clients and consumers, but also other professionals, are you helping them with that aha moment that it's not just about the client and their parent, but it's much richer?
Absolutely. We're looking at three generations and looking at what set up our parents' hurtfulness or distance. What creates these adverse childhood experiences? We have to look back. If we just stay in the dyad, we don't really heal. We've got to look back and say, oh, gosh, of course my mom drank. Of course my dad left. You know, when we see what happened to them, what happened to their parents, it has a trickle-down effect, and it gives us a greater landscape, a greater lens with which to reach compassion. And then, like you're saying, to take an action so we're not powerless. I've designed the book to be a session with me. It's like having an individual session with me. In the first part, we talk about the science, the new neuroscience. In the second part, we talk about the epigenetics and the new neuroscience. In the second part, we look for our own trauma language, becoming detectives, linking it to these events. And in the third part, it's all about having experiences and learning practices that will change our brain.
Oh, I just love this. I think everyone needs to just run on out there and buy this wonderful book. Our expert on the subject of early childhood trauma and how it manifests in adulthood is Mark Woolen, who is director of the Family Constellation Institute in San Francisco. And he is an expert in all things generations and trauma. The name of the book is It Didn't Start With You: How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle. And the website is Mark Woolen, that's WOLYNN.com. Gift yourself with this knowledge, because I know all of us want to understand why we do what we do. Now we have new science and this fabulous new book to help us. Mark, thank you for being on the Her Podcast.
Oh, Pam, thank you for having me. It was really nice.
Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. And while you're there, can you leave a review as well? Just remember, my mom reads these things. Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.